News. I'm Chuck Sievertson, seeing firsthand ground-level evidence of the effects of the delay of more U.S. military aid to Ukraine. An American physician who's volunteered in Ukraine at a hospital several times and is back there now, a brain surgeon and Army veteran, saying less ammunition for Ukraine equals more Ukrainians getting killed and wounded.
Russia has no let-up in its support from Iran, no let-up in its support from North Korea. You know, they don't have to worry about a Congress that doesn't approve authorization for artillery.
Dr. Rocco Armanda, a man who died after fatally shooting two police officers and a paramedic in a Minneapolis area neighborhood yesterday, wasn't legally allowed to have guns and was entangled in a years-long custody fight, say court records. A 25-year-old Nicholas Jordan has been formally charged with first-degree murder, police say, in the shooting deaths last week of two people in a dorm room at the U of Colorado, Colorado Springs. This is ABC News. When you can't use FedEx, why not try a drone? But it can get you arrested if you deliver to certain places.
Outsiders find many ways to smuggle drugs into prison, but few have tried using a drone. West Virginia's McDowell County Police just arrested 11 people for trying to do that. One suspect fled, was later found dead. Guards say they noticed a number of drones flying near the prison. They eventually found the pilots and their illegal drug payload. Many will end up behind the prison walls they were trying to fly over. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Czech farmers on tractors making their way to Prague in a protest over the European Union's agriculture policies and what they say are unfair practices. Farmers are targeting the EU's Green Deal, which calls for limits on the use of chemicals and on greenhouse gas air pollution. They say they make their products more expensive than non-EU imports. Similar protests have taken place across Europe in recent weeks. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfheim, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle, 1490 AM, and the Civic Media app.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights. But police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the March protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our...
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's a new set of districts for the Wisconsin legislature. The state Supreme Court declared the previous Republican-drawn districts an unconstitutional gerrymander last year. Lawmakers passed the new maps last week, and Governor Evers enacted them today.
The people should get to choose their elected officials, not the other way around. And under the maps I'm signing today, I'm making good on that promise. This is a great day for Wisconsin, and there's much to celebrate.
It's the first time in more than 50 years Wisconsin's maps were set by the legislative process and not the courts. Today is President's Day. Banks, post offices, and other organizations are closed. By the late 20th century, Americans have been marking the day to honor all the nation's presidents. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
Another setback for the Badgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers upset again, this time in Iowa City in overtime. The unranked Hawkeyes with an 88-86 win at home over Wisconsin. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
I mean, if a battle to nine down on the road to get back and get tied and have a lead, you know, we left a lot of points right in the paint, too. And as we break this down in terms of the negative things are going to be what we didn't get accomplished defensively.
Wisconsin has outlost five of their last six games. Number four ranked Marquette trying to recover after getting getting blown out at number one ranked UConn, 81-53. The Golden Eagles will host DePaul Wednesday. The NBA All-Star game was really more of a scoring derby. The Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo and his team from the East won 211-186. Here's all he had to say after the game.
As I always say, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Congratulations, Giannis.
At chicken dinner. That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low in the upper 20s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, high upper 40s. And into more sunshine and a little warmer Wednesday, highs in the low 50s. And in the mid 40s, looking into Thursday with more sunshine than clouds. Currently 40 degrees.
Coming up Tuesday on Matt and Air on Air, Fantasy Brian Kelly joins us from 10:30 to 11 in hour number two, dog training tips with Think Positively. Don't miss it.
Providing you with an eagle-eye view of what lacrosse is talking about. You're soaring with Eagle 1490. Tell a friend. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who binge-watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome to Nightlight. This amazing Monday night in our wonderful state of Wisconsin, broadcasting live statewide. Great to have you with me. I am Pete Schwabba, and we've got a show tonight. We definitely have a show. I've put together several topics that I think will be of interest. No, That's how it would be if I was very technical and laying things out. But basically, we're just going to hang out. It'll be fun. I'm glad to have all of you with me tonight. I hope you had a great day. Every day is a great day. Every day is a privilege. That's how we have to look at it. And today, of all days, today especially because it's Monday, and 25 years ago, what ended up being considered a great comedy hit theaters, Office Space. It was released 25 years ago today in 1999, and famously quoted, well, several cast members saying, it sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays. Well, this is a Monday, and it's a much more cheerful Monday, thanks in part to Office Space. So we'll talk about Office Space tonight. Conrad, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Pete. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. It's great to have you with me.
Great to be here.
You're just saying that.
I was thinking about taking a powder today. It's the Mondays, you know.
You can always take a powder. A powder can always be taken. Did you have a good weekend?
I did, yeah.
What'd you do?
I went golfing. Had some fun that.
Like real golf or mini golf?
It's a simulator called X Golf.
Okay.
In Appleton. Had some fun with that with my brother, so.
Oh, nice. Are you a good golfer? Typically, or
I would say I'm a lot better than I was last year, but I wouldn't say I'm good.
All right. Do you get birdies, bogeys, triple lindies? What do you get
when you golf? I lean towards a double bogey.
What, a bogey is over, correct?
Yeah, over par. So
all right.
Yeah.
So your handicap is plus two.
More than that.
Am I saying that right?
Just a little bit more than that.
All right. I find golf very frustrating. I'm not going to lie. I don't play enough to be good at it, you know?
Yeah.
How often do you go out in the summer?
Oh, this past summer I went out so much. I consistently played. I got better. And I'm going to do the same thing this year, so.
Okay. So, what? Now, when you golf, let me ask you something. Do you consider golf a sport?
I do.
Really?
Yeah. It's not easy. It's very hard.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of consistency. It's a very mental game as well.
But you can wear a sweater when you play it.
Yeah. You can.
It's definitely a skill.
Yes.
But you know, if you have time to like smoke between turns, I don't know. I'm on the fence about whether or not it's a sport. I don't know. I find it, I've played. I like playing with the right group. It's like playing poker with me. Like if the company's good, I'll enjoy myself, you know?
Yeah.
But the game itself doesn't do a whole lot for me. Well, that's cool. Maybe we can go out. Maybe we can mini golf and ease into
there,
it. You can
there teach we
me,
go.
Teach me how to, teach me the short game. My guests tonight are author Beth Amos, who I just kind of learned about Beth a couple months ago. She writes mystery novels set in Wisconsin. She herself lives in northern Wisconsin. And I find that interesting. I think our state lends itself to, and maybe it's the woods, I don't know, but lends itself to mystery and mysterious deaths and stuff like that. So I started reading a book that Beth sent me called Death in the Deep Dark Woods. And I wish I was farther along, but I'm about 90 pages in, and it's, she's a really good writer. So I'm very excited to have her here at 7:35 to discuss her books. And then at 8:20, Frank Anderson and I are going to talk about, we had to postpone this last week because Frank was so busy. Frank Anderson is like a Renaissance guy. He's a phenomenal editor, animator. He plays in bands. He's in the band The Know-It-All Boyfriends with Butch Vig. And he's one of those guys, I'll be sitting at home watching a music documentary and all of a sudden there's Frank talking to the camera. Or I'll be watching something on animation. Bam, there's Frank. Like, the guy just can, he's a showbiz Renaissance man. He might be an actual Renaissance man, but I only know him through the business we call show. But he also has a great website called Wisconsinology.com where you can find really cool stuff about our state on there. And he knows a lot about Wisconsin. And tonight, we are going to talk a little bit about Al Capone and Capone's connection to this state. So that'll be fun. Frank will be along at 8:20. In the meantime, oh, it's President's Day. Happy President's Day, Conrad. Who's your favorite president?
I would say Andrew Jackson. Only because I remember doing a report on him when I was in elementary school.
Okay. So that's the basis you're judging. I think that's kind of cool. You don't hear Andrew Jackson a lot. With good reason. But no, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'd have to go. Lincoln is probably the most widely considered the most successful president and the most important president, maybe. But I read a book about Teddy Roosevelt years ago. What an amazing person. I mean, back then, the Democratic and Republican parties were kind of switched. The Republicans were sort of considered the liberals, and the Democrats were more conservative. And that kind of continued probably through the Depression, I'm guessing. But Teddy Roosevelt was a fascinating guy. When he was the Undersecretary of the Navy, he felt guilty sending soldiers in to fight a battle, so he resigned and ended up leading the charge up San Juan Hill. Like, those people in government do not exist anymore. Nowadays, it's people sending other people's kids to war. Sometimes, maybe it's necessary. I'm not here to get into that, but most of the time, I feel like it's not. But the fact that he felt guilty about doing that and resigned and joined to fight alongside these people is incredible to me. He's a Renaissance guy, created the park system, discovered the West late in life, became a bird lover, all while dealing with asthma his whole life, and born, I believe, in New York City and raised in New York City. So I don't know where he would rank as far as presidents go. I would imagine top 10. For sure, probably, but a really incredible person. Abraham Lincoln, of course, the challenges he faced. I'm a John F. Kennedy fan because I grew up hearing all about John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. So that's our question tonight, though. In honor of President's Day, who's your favorite president? You don't even have to, you can tell us why, or you don't have to tell us why. Who is your favorite president? You like Eisenhower? Like Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford. Conrad likes Andrew Jackson.
Yep.
Because he did a paper. What'd you get on the paper? Did you get a good grade?
It was actually a presentation.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember what I got, okay, though. Probably not great.
Were you a good student?
I did the very minimal work to get a passing grade.
So you were a solid C student. Or a passing grade is a D, though. Hey, yeah. It doesn't matter. You're here now.
Exactly.
That's all that matters, right? I wasn't a great student, but sometimes I actually tried. Some big birthdays today. You know what, Conrad? I meant to pull a Billy Joe Armstrong song, and I totally forgot. I'm a Green Day fan. Michael Jordan turned 60 on Saturday. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day turned 51 on Saturday. Joseph Gordon-Levitt turned 42 on Saturday. Larry the Cable Guy, an old friend of mine, turned 60 on Saturday. Matt Dillon turned 59. John Travolta turned 69. Vanna White, 66. She is still on Wheel of Fortune. Turning those tiles. People love Vanna White. She's hard on. Molly Ringwald turns 55. One of the Brat Packers from John Hughes films. And Smokey Robinson turned 83 today. I should have pulled some Smokey Robinson music. All right. So, but as I mentioned, today is a big day in the biz, as they say, because Office Space turns 25. And here's a great story about Office Space. Apparently, Mike Judge made this film, and I want to say the company was Fox Searchlight, one of these studios. They were making his life a living hell, as I understand it. He regretted, you know, the guy was already loaded with Beavis and Butthead money. But as the story goes, he was just miserable throughout the making of Office Space. When he was done with it, they didn't get it. The studio did not understand what he had done comedically, and they buried it. They released it in February. I believe they were supposed to release it earlier during a more before the holidays or something, but they didn't get it and they didn't like it. Well, eventually people found it and it became a big hit. And now it's one of the most quotable movies probably of the last 20 years, easily. I feel like I could recite the film heart to heart or word for word. And it's one of those films like, I'll be hanging out with my son or my daughter, and it's like, let's put an Office, like, you don't know what to watch, let's put an Office Space. We'll watch Office Space for a half hour, an hour. Because you could do that. You could watch it in small increments like that and watch Gary Cole or friend of the show, Richard Reilly, who is on the show, who plays Tom Smakowski, who invented the jump to conclusions map. Richard's great. Ron Livingston. And, of course, the character Michael Bolton, who hates his name. So here's what we're going to do. In honor of Office Space, we'll hear some Office Space next. And we have a song, a beautiful song about presidents in honor of President's Day. That's coming up too. But our question tonight is, who is your favorite president? You can let us know at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can also tell us your favorite Office Space line or character at 844-967-2789. And as always, you can always text in throughout the show and let us know what you're thinking. Use the app, the Civic Media app. We're on statewide, so click on any of the stations and you can text from there as well. We'd love to hear from you. Beth Amos is coming up at 7:35 to talk about her wonderful mystery novels set here in Wisconsin. And Frank Anderson of Wisconsinology will be along at 8:20. But coming up next, more Office Space talk and a lovely song about President's Day. Happy President's Day, everyone. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You know that it would be untrue. Welcome back. You know that I would be untrue. We've got a case of the Mondays here on Nightlight tonight because it is the 25th anniversary of Office Space hitting theaters. And it's a big day in the movie world. So the story I was telling before the break was that Mike Judge, they made his life a living hell during Office Space, buried the film because they didn't believe in it. They didn't get it. It goes on to be a big hit. And then they begged him to make a sequel. And he said, forget it. He didn't need the money. He didn't want the headache. And I guess you could say it was sort of payback. I've never been in that position. I've been in show business my entire adult life. I've never been in the position where I could pretty much turn. I've done okay and gotten by, but I've never been in that position where I could say, no, thanks. I don't want your $1 million. Got some texts here. Our question tonight, who's your favorite president? It's President's Day, people. Who's your favorite president? You can tell us why or not tell us why. You can also tell us who your favorite character from Office Space was or what your favorite line from Office Space was. And as usual, you can weigh in on anything we're talking about. But this is from the 920 from Green Bay. This is Christy. What did Petey Boy say to Chevy Chase in the elevator? I don't remember telling Christy that story. Maybe I'll tell that story later. That's fun. That is kind of a funny story. Christy loves to bust my chops about my career. And I think she has like secret informants to tell her things because she comes up with this stuff I don't even know she knew. I don't know how she found it out, but she is nothing if not resourceful. All right. Basically, I found myself on an elevator with Chevy Chase. I was going to a meeting. He was going to a meeting at the same place. We're riding up and I said something to him. I don't remember exactly what it was. I was trying to be funny, but nonchalant. I didn't gush. Whatever I said to him, he just acknowledged he was nice enough. And then I said to him, was that okay? That's better than I love your work, right? And he said, yeah, it was okay. You could have told me you loved me. That would have really freaked me out. Then I waited a beat and I said, well, I do love you. And he laughed. I made Chevy Chase laugh. The star of Fletch, Seems Like Old Times, Caddyshack, one of the guys I grew up watching as a kid. It's a big thrill. It's a big thrill to ride in an elevator with someone. That is one of the small joys of life. And to make Chevy Chase laugh, that was kind of cool. From the 608, there you go, Christy. Keep firing those questions away. I don't know who your informant is or who your source is, but you kind of keep me on my toes about my own life, which is always fun. From the 608, Rico from Rock County, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, of course, FDR, president for almost 12 years, right? I think that's when they made the rule you could only do two terms after FDR. From the 920, Kurt from Appleton, favorite president is Ronald Reagan. He is the favorite of many, Kurt. I will say this. When I lived in California, Ronald Reagan's home state, adopted home state. I think he's from Illinois. Eureka, Illinois, if I'm not mistaken, Ronald Reagan was from. The Reagan Library, if you're ever in California, I think it's in Simi Valley, is absolutely stunningly beautiful. The views are incredible. His, I believe he's buried there and there's like a flame. It is absolutely beautiful. I think you could see all the way to the ocean, but it is gorgeous. So Ronald Reagan, of course, was president from 1980 to 1988. And that was Kurt from Appleton weighing in. Thank you, Kurt. From the 715, Monday night sunset along County Trunk Highway M, Rustic Road 47 in the town of Germania in western Shawnee County. I don't know if that's a question. Conrad, what do you make of that?
I think that maybe for another show, maybe?
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Sounds beautiful, though.
Unless that's a character in Office Space.
That could be. That could be a line from Office Space we missed about the sunset in Shawano County. Either way, 715, great to hear from you. It's also Molly Ringwald's birthday. I feel like we should do something from Office Space. So let's, what do you got lined up there? We have several.
I have the Richard Reilly clip.
Let's do, okay, Richard has been on the show. He's a friend of the show. He's a friend of mine and a really super guy. And a Wisconsin native, I might add. This is Richard playing Tom Smokowski, who is also tired of his office job in Office Space.
You know, there are people in this world that don't have to put up with all the
crap.
Like that guy that invented the pet rock. You see, that's what you have to do. You have to use your mind and come up with some really great idea like that, and you can make millions, never have to work again.
You think the pet rock was a really great idea?
Sure it was. The guy made $1 million. You know, I had an idea like that once, a long time ago.
Really? What was it, Tom?
Well, all right. It was a jump to conclusions mat. You see, it would be this mat that you would put on the floor and would have different conclusions written on it that you could jump to.
That is the worst idea I've ever heard in my life, Tom.
Yes. Yes, it's horrible, this idea.
Oh, that's a clip from Office Space featuring, among others, Richard Reilly. I think, Conrad, was Richard on the show our second week? Maybe even our first week.
I believe he was on the second week.
He had a great story about being in the film Casino, and Joe Pesci got him the role, and he was telling a story about that, and we were running out of time, I remember, so we have to have Richard on to give him a little more cushion to tell that story again. It was such a great story about how he got the role. But tremendous actor and a Wisconsin native. So we also have a song in honor of President's Day. We just played this last week because it was William Henry Harrison's birthday. And this is interesting. I was listening to a show earlier today about the most ineffective presidents in honor of President's Day. I did not hear the name William Henry Harrison. Now, he was only president for like 31 days, and he's not on that list, which means he either accomplished a ton of stuff in 1 month or they don't even count his presidency. But here is a song about President's Day as only the Simpsons can do it.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a wonderful evening of theater and picking up after yourselves. We begin with a tribute to our lesser-known presidents.
We are the mediocre presidents. You won't find our faces on dollars or on cents. There's Taylor, there's Tyler, there's Fillmore, and there's Hayes. There's William Henry Harrison.
I died in 30 days.
We are the adequate, forgettable, occasionally
oh, that's the Simpsons. Parodying America as only the Simpsons can do. Well, happy President's Day, everybody. Got another text here. Oh, this is from Conrad's dad, who always gives us great texts. His favorite president is George Washington, our first president who set the bar on how to lead a great country. Very well said, Steve. It's hard to disagree with that. He was probably the perfect man for the job at the time. You know, I can't... Conrad, take a memo.
All right, I got the notepad.
All right. Remind me to tell the story of the Greenland shark, because it's what I always think of when I think of George Washington.
The Greenland shark.
The Greenland shark. I have to tell listeners this before the end of the show, because it's an incredible story. Hey, in just a couple minutes, Wisconsin-based, award-winning, USA Today best-selling author Beth Amos will be here. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Seeing firsthand ground-level evidence, the effects of the delay of more U.S. military aid to Ukraine an American physician who's volunteered in Ukraine at a hospital several times and is back there now, a brain surgeon and Army veteran, saying less ammunition for Ukraine equals more Ukrainians getting killed and wounded.
Russia has no let-up in its support from Iran, no let-up in its support from North Korea. You know, they don't have to worry about a Congress that doesn't approve authorization for artillery.
Dr. Rocco Armanda. A man who died after fatally shooting two police officers and a paramedic in a Minneapolis area neighborhood yesterday wasn't legally allowed to have guns and was entangled in a years-long custody fight, say court records. A 25-year-old, Nicholas Jordan, has been formally charged with first-degree murder, police say, in the shooting deaths last week of two people in a dorm room at the U of Colorado, Colorado Springs. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is enacting new legislative district maps today, but many Democrats say they're concerned about the maps not taking effect until the fall campaigns. Republicans say there's nothing underhanded going on.
It's just standard language to put that in there so that way you have a start with a new election cycle. And that standard language that has been put in maps in the past by Democrats, Republicans.
Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu on WISN-TV's Upfront. The man accused of killing a couple of newlyweds at a bar in Elkhorn is charged with two counts of homicide and several other crimes. Witnesses say Thomas Rout stood up at the Sports Page bar on February 1st and fired his gun. The bullets hit and killed Emerson and Gina Weingart. Bail is set at $2 million. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low in the upper 20s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, high upper 40s. And into more sunshine and a little warmer Wednesday, highs in the low 50s. And in the mid 40s, looking into Thursday with more sunshine than clouds.
It's 39 right now.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you have cabin fever, Crafty may be good for what ails you. 29 Pines Hotel and Convention Center in Eau Claire is hosting nonstop crafting classes and a whole lot of laughing and relaxing March 1st through the 3rd. Oh, and did I mention door prizes? Yell it with me. Bingo! It's friendly competition at the Knights of Columbus on Pump House Road in Chippewa Falls. Doors at 4, bingo at 7 every Friday through the end of May. Food and fun, too. If you're under 18, you can still play if you are with an adult. La la la, get your voice ready to sing. Read poetry, provide some comedy for Open Mic Tuesday at The Plus on Barstow Street in Eau Claire. Free, open to all ages and talents. Stop in any Tuesday night from 7 to 10. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
The talk that matters to you and fits your lifestyle.
Tune out all the yelling and screaming.
Come soaring with Eagle 1490.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. We've got a case of the Mondays, and helping us get through it is the fact that it is the 25th anniversary of the film that created that expression, A Case of the Mondays, Office Space. It was released in 1999 on this day. And our question tonight is, in honor of President's Day, it's a twofold question. Who's your favorite president, and what is your favorite line or character from Office Space? You're welcome to chime in on either at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. And I will tell the story of the Greenland shark. And you know what? Maybe I can ask our next guest, because she, in her book, there is a character that is a cryptozoologist. I hope I'm saying that right. But that profession fascinates me. And let's use that as a springboard to introduce my next guest. It's my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a best-selling and award-winning author who also happens to be Wisconsin-based, Beth Amos. Welcome to Nightlight, Beth. Oh, I think Beth is muted. I think you're muted there, Beth. That's okay. I am technological.
Is that better?
There. Of course it's better. Okay. We can hear your voice now, Beth. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for taking the time out to be with me tonight. This is really fun. I've been waiting to have you on the show, and hopefully we found the right moment here where it worked with your busy schedule. Tell us a little bit. Are you okay? First, I have to ask you, are you familiar with the Greenland shark?
I am not.
Okay. So I told one of our texters said his favorite president was George Washington because it's President's Day. And it made me think a few months ago, I read about this shark called the Greenland shark, and it was almost 500 years old. And it's a living, they move less than a mile an hour. They move very slow. They're these huge animals. And there was a picture of one, and it was all beat up like it had lived for 450 years. And the first thing that crossed my mind was this shark was swimming in the waters before George Washington was president. And it absolutely blew my mind. And then when I was reading your book the other day, it made me think this is the kind of creature that one of your characters would investigate. Only the Greenland shark is real, and maybe your creatures are, and maybe they aren't.
That is the question. Possible existability.
all right. It's never good when you start on a tangent. So thank you for humoring me, Beth. So when I started reading, one of the books you sent me was Death in the Deep Dark Woods. What is it about Wisconsin, and especially the woods, that lend themselves to these great settings for mysteries, do you think? You said a lot of stuff there. You must have a feeling on this.
Yeah, well, actually, it's interesting that my writing career began when I lived in Richmond, Virginia, and I had three books that I published, and then that publisher decided to move on and dropped me, and I tried to write another book that was more of a mystery setting and set it in Virginia, and it just wasn't working for me. I wanted something that was kind of quirky and funny and weird and different, a lot of humor, medical humor, because I am a nurse, or was. I guess you're always a nurse. And I ended up moving to Wisconsin, and when I did, I decided to change the setting to Wisconsin, and suddenly everything kind of gelled together for this book, because Wisconsin just is kind of weird and quirky and different. A unique personality and culture all its own. And so I ended up writing a mystery series based on a nurse who goes to work for a coroner in a small Wisconsin town, and wrote 12 books in that series, and had even two spinoff books. And then when that series came to an end, I was looking to do something different, something else. And my agent and I were talking, and he just asked me what kind of things I was interested in, what kind of TV shows I liked. And the first thing that came to mind was the X-Files, because I was an absolute X-File, P-H-I-L-E, X-File. So we started talking about cryptozoology, because that fascinated me. And the North Woods of Wisconsin are just dark enough, creepy enough, misty enough, cold enough. It has all the elements that you need for a nice, creepy story. And actually, my first book in that Monster Hunter mystery series is set in Door County, which is a picturesque, beautiful vacation mecca. And I really liked the juxtaposition of having this beautiful vacation spot, potentially the home of a deadly monster that was killing people, only this time it was a Loch Ness type monster living in Lake Michigan. So you have the Great Lakes as well as the North Woods, and both of those I think are great potential sites for or plot devices, I guess you could say, for any kind of a monster to be.
Yeah, definitely. Was that part of your inspiration, Beth? The you make reference in Death in the Deep Dark Woods to Death's Door at Washington Island. And it's interesting because your character starts there and then goes to North Central Wisconsin near Bayfield to investigate this crime that they think is possibly a Bigfoot. Was that an inspiration? There's something very mysterious about those waters between Washington Island and like Ellison Bay.
Oh, absolutely. It's called Death's Door for a reason. There are more shipwrecks in that area than there is in any other fresh body of water in the world. And there's a fascinating history there, a history of potentially lost gold that's been that was sunk in the waters of Lake Michigan that's never been found, mysteries of a ship that's supposedly sunk in Lake Michigan that was never found. So there's a lot of fun historical events like that lend themselves really well to a mystery like this. The Great Lakes also, because they at one time were connected or part of the big ocean that covered the world. And then when that ocean receded, eventually the Great Lakes became freshwater lakes, but they're still kind of connected to the ocean and they're very deep. Lake Superior is probably the best one because it's 400 meters deep in places. I mean, that's almost half a mile deep. And when you think about how cold and dark that water down there is, the possibility of something living down there that we've never seen before is kind of scary, but fun to think about.
It is.
Let me just say too, the Bigfoot thing, we've been up to Bayfield, Wisconsin to vacation before, and Bigfoot rumors and stories up there are so prevalent, they actually have a wooden cutout of a Bigfoot up there in Bayfield that they move around town for people to try and find. It's sort of their little inside joke, a game that they play up there. So,
where do you stand on the whole Bigfoot thing? Are you open to it? I mean, you write about your character's open to it. How much of you is in that character?
I'm open to anything, but I'm a very scientifically oriented person. I was a nurse for, almost 50 years. So I base most of my beliefs on science, but I'm open to what my character in the books calls plausible existability. I think Bigfoot's probably lower on the scale of plausible existability.
Yeah.
Something like a creature that lives down in the deeper, darker depths of the waters is more likely. That's something that I'm inclined to believe in.
That's funny. You're channeling your main character in your book right there. It was great to hear that. Actually, you saying that. I'm with you too. Lake Superior is so creepy and it's dark and deep, even in the summer. And I remember swimming. We used to vacation in the Three Lakes in Eagle River area when I was growing up in Chicago. And I remember seeing Jaws and jumping in a lake and being told 1,000 times, well, there couldn't be a shark in this. It's fresh water. It's not. And I'm like, hey, someone could have slipped a shark in there. You never know. And because you can't see it, right? I mean, isn't that what's
that's
so
right.
creepy?
That's right. And the things that die in Lake Superior because it's so cold, they sink down to the bottom and they never surface back up again. You ever did make it down to the bottom of Lake Superior, just imagine how creepy that would be.
I will tonight before I go to bed. Thank you, Beth.
You're very welcome.
So you on page, I think it was around 46, you talk about, I love your attention to detail in this. You talk about a hair that was found in a footprint that kind of leaves the door open for you, your character, thinking Bigfoot could exist because all the other hairs in that footprint were identifiable. Deer, raccoon, whatever it was. when you were writing this, was that based on something you'd heard, or did you just make that up? If I can ask that question, I don't want to break any kind of confidence.
No, if it's about the experiment that they conducted out in Washington State, it's absolutely true. I lived out in Washington State at one point in time, and they did set up something on Mount Rainier to try to attract a Bigfoot, and they set out some fruit and stuff. And something came and ate the fruit and left an imprint in the mud, and they did find some hairs in it, and they had all those hairs examined, and most of them, as you say, were identifiable, but there was one that it was identifiable only as being something related to primates. So
wow.
It did leave the door open, yeah.
My guess.
Yeah, it's very big out in Washington State, of course, Bigfoot. That's like the birthplace of Bigfoot in the United States.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, if I was a Bigfoot, that's probably where I would migrate to eventually. It's got yeah. a lot of places you can lay low and stay on the QT. My guest is Beth Amos. She is an award-winning author and a USA Today best-selling author based here in Wisconsin. So you are not native. You grew up in the East Coast, and I can kind of hear it in your voice now. You just sort of picked Wisconsin, or how did you end up in Wisconsin exactly?
No, I didn't really. I mean, I started on the East Coast, but then we also spent a lot of time living on the West Coast. I've moved around a lot as a kid. I ended up in Wisconsin because I had a sister who lived in Madison, and we visited her a lot, and we liked it here. And I wasn't crazy about Richmond, Virginia when I lived there, so we ended up when my son finally got through school, I decided to move, and this is where we ended up coming to. So,
interesting.
And I live in southern Wisconsin. I know earlier mentioned that you thought I lived in northern Wisconsin, but I actually live down below Madison in southern Wisconsin.
Less creepy down there.
yeah, the it can be. It's a small town, and all these yeah. small towns can be creepy.
yeah, or they lended. Yeah, something about ever since I saw the film In the Heat of the Night. It put this impression in my head of small towns, like you never know. And when you go to small towns, people always say, well, the people here are the best people in the world. Well, I know you think that because they're your neighbors.
They are. They are until they're not.
They're lovely. But yeah, anything could happen anywhere. That's my philosophy. So, Beth, you have different surnames you write under. Why is that?
Well, I tell people it's because, I was a nurse and I spent my last 20 years as an ER nurse, and I figured that my patients probably didn't want to know that I spent my spare time thinking up fun ways to kill people in my books. So, but the real reason for it is a marketing decision that was made by the publishers because, as I mentioned, that HarperCollins published my first three books under my real name. And then after they dropped me, they did it right before my third book came out. So the sales on it were kind of poor. Well, they weren't kind of poor. They were very poor. And so because of that, book buyers, the people who sell books, they can look my name up and see that that last book didn't sell well, and they won't buy any more books. So the publisher wanted me to come up with a pseudonym. The first pseudonym I came up with, Annalise Ryan, was just my son's name, which is Ryan. I used that as the last name, and Anne was my middle name. I picked that. They thought that was a little too common, Anne Ryan. So I did Annalise because Annalise was my name in German class in high school. Nice. So Annalise Ryan was born. But while I was writing those books, my publisher then asked me if I would be interested in doing yet another series in a Cheers kind of setting, a bar setting for mysteries, and setting it in Wisconsin. Wisconsin seems to be a very popular place for mysteries, for sure. And they wanted me to come up with a new pseudonym for that one because they didn't want one series to impact the other if either one of them didn't do well. So that time I came up with a slightly different name of Allison K. Abbott, which was my little inside joke because the initials were AKA. And it was also a strategic marketing decision because Abbott would be on the top shelf at eye level in most bookstores if you go in there. So it was a little bit strategic marketing and a little bit, I'm tired of coming up with new names, so this is my inside joke kind of thing. And that series takes place in a bar in Milwaukee. So that's the primary. I know that's a stretch for Wisconsin, a bar, but
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it must be nice to be able to publish books under several names and be successful under three different names. That's a testament to your writing. We are talking to Beth Amos, and we'll have more with her in just a minute. We're answering your texts. Beth, think about your favorite president in the next minute or so. We'd love to hear who you're thinking, and it could be for a variety of reasons. From the 920, Christy says, Bill Clinton, and she's laughing because she's referencing a picture on my Facebook account. Okay, so my guest is Beth Amos. We'll have more with her. She's an award-winning writer. Happy to have her on Nightlight tonight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black History stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Peach Wabba. We are broadcasting statewide throughout our beautiful, quirky, and it's sometimes creepy state, according to author Beth Amos, who is with me tonight. She is the author of Death in the Dark Woods. I think I said the deep dark woods earlier. I don't know what made me say that. Beth, I apologize, but it's great have you here.
Thank you.
Do you have a favorite president, Beth?
I would probably have to say Barack Obama, only because of not only the historical significance of his election in our country, but also because I think that he and his wife brought a lot of dignity that was kind of necessary back to the idea of the presidency, a dignity I'm not sure we have now. But just I think he accomplished a lot, even despite some long odds. And so he would have to be my vote.
That's a great answer. And that is the most in-depth answer we've had. Now, you had the advantage of saying it as opposed to texting it. But thank you for weighing
That's
in
true.
On that, Beth. That's great.
If I was texting, I'd still be trying to do it. So, yeah.
Yeah. You talk a little bit in your bio on your website about working full-time as a nurse and raising a son and trying to write. And it sounded like your life was just chaotic at that point. How hard is it to finish a book? I mean, to me, it's easier to write when you have chunks of time. Some people can do it when they have 20 minutes and they do what they can. I've never been able to operate like that. What is your technique, and how hard was that to get a book published under those circumstances or finish a book?
Well, I spent a lot of my early years of writing trying to write short fiction, and it wasn't until my late 30s that I switched to novel length. And by then, my son was a little bit older, so a little bit more independent. And I also worked, I was fortunate enough to get jobs as a nurse in what they call bailer programs or weekender programs. So I worked 24 hours every weekend in exchange for working every weekend for 24 hours. I got paid for 36. I got full-time benefits, and it gave me the rest of the week off to do whatever. And I used that for writing. I also worked night shifts a lot, and night shifts, there's always some downtime, almost always in the ER, you never know, but a lot of times I would use some of that downtime for writing as well. So eventually I got it done. I promised myself if I didn't get something published by the time I was 40, I was going to give it up, which I don't think I could have done. And I actually published my first novel, came out when I turned 40. So
that's pretty incredible. Well done.
Prophetic.
You said also in your bio that you used to review books and read a lot of books. How did that help you as a writer? Did it help you? I would assume it did.
Yeah, Dad, I've always been a big reader. And I think just in terms of word knowledge and grammar and pacing, just how to tell a story and how to create characters and you know, use words to paint a picture, basically, Growing up, like I said, I moved around a lot. And so I spent a lot of time hitting up libraries and reading books. That's what I did. It was hard to make new friends. And I also told stories about myself that made me sound more interesting than I really was. My teachers and my mother called it lying, but I thought it was just good preparation for later storytelling. So all of that kind of gave me the practice for being able to put words to the page and tell a story.
What would you tell young aspiring writers if they ask you for advice? If you had like a 30-second to 60-second answer for them, what would it be? How do you tell someone who doesn't even know how to start? What do you tell them?
Learn everything that you can about the art and the business of writing if you want to do it for publication. Brace your ego, because it's a not a friendly kind of job to do. You get bad reviews, you get rejected a lot. It's not easy to do. And then don't ever give up on yourself. Just always believe in yourself.
How do you, that's great advice. And I tell my kids that, never quit, never give up. You probably read stuff from writers that's just terrible. And how do you go between saying never give up on your dream or saying, hey, maybe welding isn't such a bad idea, or go to law school? Like, have you ever been in that position where you had to shoot someone straight?
Yeah, I've been in that position myself with things. You know, I'm a very stubborn person, and if you tell me I can't do something, it just makes me that much more determined to do it. But that doesn't mean I can do it well. And I think with writing, if you don't want to invest the time to really learn how to do it right, learn how to tell a story, learn what good grammar is, learn punctuation, you know, just the basics of it and the business of writing, particularly if you want to get published or be published or even publish your own stuff, you really need to learn all that stuff. And if you don't want to put in the time, you're probably not going to succeed.
As prolific as you are, you've published many books. If people could read only one, which would you tell them to read? Or what are you most proud of your works?
Wow. I would probably say that Working Stiff, which was my first book in the Maddie Winston series, which is the one I mentioned earlier that I finally was able to really get to come together when I moved to Wisconsin. I wanted a way to use all of the humor that people I've worked with over the years in medicine, all the humor that they have, because medical people are some of the funniest, most twisted and weird people, but they have this great sense of humor that's really unique, and they come out with some of the funniest lines. And I wanted a way to use that in my writing. And that's what the Maddie Winston series was kind of about. It was a way to use that humor to show what it's like working in that industry, and to kind of give a little kudos to all the people I've worked with over the years. So I'm very proud of Working Stiff, which was the first book in that series. But also A Death in Door County, which was the first of the Monster Hunter mysteries, is also, I think, something that I'm very proud of. I spent a lot of time researching it. Speaking of research, too, just to reference, you mentioned later, your guest later on is going to be talking a little bit about Al Capone and his connections to Wisconsin. Well, my Max Barr series that takes place in Milwaukee actually references some Al Capone stuff in the first book.
Oh, nice.
And my next Monster Hunter mystery story that I'll be writing, but it'll be book number 4 because I just finished number 3. It's also going to have some connections to Al Capone. So
Very nice.
There is quite a bit of Al Capone history going here in Wisconsin. The third book in the series, by the way, is going to be about the Hodag in Rhinelander.
Oh, nice. Wow. Yeah. Busy girl. Beth, I can't thank you enough for your time tonight. Thanks. Next time you come back, we'll have to talk X-Files and what you're watching in TV, because that's what we talk about here. We didn't get to it, but we'll have you back soon, I hope.
Okay.
All right. Thanks
for
so much.
Having me, Pete.
Anytime. Right. That's Beth Amos, award-winning writer in USA Today, best-selling author and based here in Wisconsin. Coming up next, more Office Space, and Frank Anderson from Wisconsinology joins us to talk Al Capone. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
On air,
1490 AM, online, lacrosseeagle.com, and on the Civic Media app. This is Eagle 1490. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.